speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome on this Wednesday, July the 17th, 2019. I'm David Knight, your host. Today, of course, we're going to take a look at the back and forth on the House floor yesterday, the fight. Nancy Pelosi had to be called to order. And then they come up with a resolution to condemn President Trump. Look, what this tells me is that we now have what I would call a Preston Brooks Congress. We've reached that level where, if you remember history, in the lead up to the Civil War, Preston Brooks actually caned a fellow congressman on the House floor. And we've gotten to that level of acrimony. This is a burgeoning civil war. We're in the early stages of it. It's one of the reasons why they are shutting down our free speech. And so the other thing that happened on Capitol Hill yesterday was not in the House, but in the Senate. You had Google executives trying to make the case that they should not be regulated. Again, they have well over 90% of the search engine market. The number two, Microsoft's Bing, has just over 2%. That's how totally dominating they are in terms of search engines. And we're going to take a look at a comparison going back to the railroads and the monopolies there, the robber barons of the railroads and the corruption that at that time involved the Republican Party. I mean, look, when we have the situation with Preston Brooks, he was a Democrat who caned a Republican, and at that point in time, they were discussing slavery. The Democrats, of course, on the side of slavery, on the side of racism, as they always have been and still are on the side of racism. It just, you know, they adjust the whichever race they believe they can get the most political advantage out of at any given time. And as we see an increasing move towards reparations, Chucky Schumer is now in on it as well. It has now been admitted that all this stuff about putting Harriet Tubman on the $20 bill and that President Trump wanted to get rid of that, that's now been admitted by a former Obama official that we didn't really have any intention to do that. We just used that. But today I'm going to start by talking about Lyme disease and an amazing development there. That's going to be coming up in the next segment. I will also give you some evidence that some of these people that they claim, you know, like Rashida Tlaib, as I tweeted out yesterday, and of course you can find me on Twitter, Libertarian. I tweeted out what she said going back to April, I think it was, this article. Yeah, back in the middle of April. She said, "I've never felt more Palestinian than I have felt in Congress." She said, "I'm more Palestinian in the halls of Congress than I am anywhere else in the country, in the world." And that just tells you just the fact that they weren't ready for us. Yeah, that's right. So as I said yesterday, it doesn't really matter where you're born, right? We've had very famous spy cases. Philby Burgess MacLean in the UK. These guys were British. They didn't have any connection to people in a foreign country like Rashida Tlaib does. No, they were born and bred British. British aristocracy, they went to the best went to the best universities in the country. But they became foreigners to Britain. They betrayed Britain. They adopted foreign ideas like Marxism. And they became spies for the Soviet Union. And I'm telling you, as I said yesterday, it doesn't really matter where your place of birth is. We have people who were born in other countries that are amazingly loyal to America. And perhaps, as Omar said, you know, more loyal than many Americans are to the principles that set up this country because they have lived under communist rule. They've lived under socialism. But these people that President Trump took on truly do have a foreigner's mindset, regardless of where they were born. And Rashida Tlaib sees herself as a Palestinian congresswoman in the halls of the American Congress. She has said it over and over again.
In a world of deceit, Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome on this Wednesday, July 17th, year of our Lord 2019. I'm David Knight, your host. We can all breathe easy now because we've been given an extension by Prince Charles. Oh, no, wait. He's come back and he's made it more of a climate emergency. As Climate Depot reports, Mark Moreno, Prince Charles had, back in 2015, he had given us a temporary reprieve. Going back even further to 2009, Prince Charles had issued a 100-month climate tipping point deadline. Well, you know, when that didn't happen, he said at that point he extended the 100-month climate tipping point to another 35 years. But now he's changing the clock again on us. It is now just 18 months. He said if he warned global leaders that if we don't tackle this climate change situation in 18 months, the human race will go extinct. He says, I'm firmly of the view that the next 18 months will decide our ability to keep climate change to survivable levels and to restore nature to equilibrium and the equilibrium that we need for our survival. This is the guy who is really kind of the figurehead, if you will, not only of the UK, but also of the Earth League, and they basically want a global body to make laws. They want a global court. They want population reduction. I've talked about this before. John Schellenhuber, who is the science advisor for the Pope, has many times talked about how we have to have radical population reduction. And of course, he's one of the key people that is propping up Prince Charles with a thin veneer of science. Folks, as we reported last week, we've got two different studies that have come out of Finland and Japan saying that there is absolutely no influence by man-made emissions on our climate. They said one of the reasons why your models are failing, and this is the reason why he keeps moving this back and forth, one of the reasons your models are failing is because you have failed to take into account other factors. And they mentioned that. And it's not just the solar activity and the cycles that go through that, the cycles of solar activity, although that's a big error in their models, failing to take that into consideration. But it's so many different issues. And along with that, we see that Lotus has now introduced their first hypercar. You know, tomorrow is going to be the unveiling of the eighth generation of Corvette. And I talked to Eric Peters about that yesterday. And what we were talking about with that, and it's very evident in this car, again, they get more and more absurd. Lotus is taking this up to the point where they claim an equivalent of nearly 2,000 horsepower on this hypercar. And it's going to cost about $2 million. And that's really the trend, and that's what we were talking about with the Corvette. The trend is, if you look at what the automobile companies are excited about, it's only about the supercars or the hypercars. Millions of dollars for these cars. That's what they're developing. And on the other end of the spectrum, they just want to have some little Johnny Cab automated taxis that we will rent by the ride because we aren't going anywhere. These people are going to be buying cars that are as expensive as a private plane, and they'll be the only ones allowed to travel. That was essentially what we were talking about, the trend, as things continue to get more and more elitist and controlled in the area of transportation. So I tweeted that out. That was kind of funny. I was tempted to respond to her on Twitter, but yeah, there's only so much you can say on Twitter. As I tweeted that out about the Corvette, and some guy came back and said on Twitter, he said, yeah, I had one of the original 1967 Vets. And I said, oh, I love that one. That was my favorite generation, how it looked and so forth. And I said, let's make America V8 again. And she came back and said, well, you know, Aaron built a golden calf, and we got to watch out about idols. And it's like, yeah, I know, but Aaron couldn't ride his golden calf anywhere. It didn't move. And yes, we have to be careful about making, our heart is an idol factory, certainly is. And we have to be careful about making an idol out of anything. Nevertheless, what we're talking about here is whether or not we're going to be made slaves It was a good thing to not be a slave. It was a good thing to get out of Egypt. And that is something we can all aspire to free the captives, to free the slaves. And that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to free your mind to see this kinds of slavery systems that they're imposing on it. Prince Charles not only wants to enslave you and take away your ability, just like AOC. You know, the big problem with AOC is she got away from all of the alarmism and she went straight to the end game because she doesn't really understand what's going on. As Congressman Kennedy said yesterday, a Republican, he said, these women in the squad are the reasons that we have to have instructions on the back of shampoo bottles. And of course, like the instructions on the back of the shampoo bottle, they are an endless loop. You know, the instructions on the back of the bottle say, you know, wet your hair, apply shampoo, and then rinse, then repeat. It's an endless loop. And so are the calls of racism in the Democrat Party. It is an endless loop. But we have to understand what their true objective is. It's not about what they're talking about. AOC got Pelosi and others angry because she jumped to the end game. She said, the bottom line, you're not going to have any cars. You're not going to have any planes. You're not going to have any meat on your table because, you know, you just can't have that. No air conditioning, all that kind of stuff. And Chakrabarty last week, not just the two studies that came out of Japan and Finland, but Chakrabarty, her chief of staff, who again, massive campaign violations. You don't see anything happening with that, do you? President Trump, why isn't your Federal Election Commission doing anything about this? By the way, you don't need the permission of a judge to have the FEC look into AOC. I know the judges have shut down everything at the border, and you think that they are superior to the executive branch. Get somebody besides your Department of Justice and these lawyers who want judicial supremacy. He's listening to all of these people in the Department of Justice, and they are giving him self-serving advice, saying the judiciary is supreme over the president, over the Congress, over the states, over the people. They are the Politburo, the little bureaucracy that determines all of our policy, regardless of how detailed it is into our lives. So obey the Congress. And if any individual judge anywhere blackballs you, I mean, this is like a fraternity system, right? A fraternity system, I'm told. I never was in a fraternity. I was in some honorary fraternities. But I was never in an actual fraternity where you live there. And so they would go in, you know, they'd meet you and everybody would interview you or get to know you a little bit. And then they would have a vote as to whether or not you get in. And everybody would be given marbles, right? And they would put, pass the bucket around. And if you would drop in either a white or a black marble and you get blackballed out. If you got one black marble, you were out. And that's now the way the federal judiciary system works. One federal judge out of 3,500 anywhere can blackball any policy that the president has, the constitutional authority that he has, the duty that he has to protect this country and its borders can be blackballed by any single judge. And I have to say, this country has lost its marbles, if we believe that. We have completely come unmoored from the Constitution, from any rule of law. We're now being ruled by lawyers, as I said last week. When we come back, I want to talk about what's going on with Lyme disease. Very interesting update that came on the floor of the Congress. They've now said to the Pentagon, you need to come clean about where Lyme disease came from. This is one of those things that we have always been denounced as conspiracy theorists for talking about. And now they have added that into the NDAA. Well, it remains to be seen whether or not it's going to get, whether it'll pass the scrutiny of the Senate or whether they will take that out as well. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. The Pentagon has now been ordered by the House and the new NDAA to tell the public whether or not it weaponized ticks and whether or not it released them into the public. And, of course, we're talking about the long-reported stories about what happened with Lyme disease coming from Plum Island. Now, there's a lot of basis in fact on this. As a matter of fact, there's a new book that has come out. The author is Chris Newby. It's published by Harper. And this is their description of the book. While on vacation in Martha's Vineyard, Chris Newby was bitten by an unseen tick. That bite changed her life forever, pulling her into the abyss of a devastating illness that took 10 doctors to diagnose, years to recover. She had become one of the 300,000 Americans who are afflicted with Lyme disease each year, and that number is growing. That is now metastasized out of that little area close to the biological chemical weapon facility on Plum Island in that New Jersey area. It's now metastasized out of there. It's very prevalent all the way down to North Carolina where we lived. She was driven, they said, to understand why. The quest led her to Willy Bergdorfer, the discoverer of the microbe that causes Lyme disease. He revealed that he had developed bug-borne bioweapons during the Cold War, and he believed that the Lyme epidemic was started by a military experiment that was gone wrong. And as Harper, the publishers of this book, point out, and the book is named Bitten, a superb, meticulous work of narrative journalism, Bitten takes readers on a journey to investigate these claims from biological weapons facilities to interviews with biosecurity experts and microbiologists doing cutting-edge research, all the while uncovering darker truths about Willy Bergdorfer. I haven't read this book. I'm going to get this book. Is he one of the people that came over with Operation Paperclip? It's very well documented. As a matter of fact, you have other authors like Annie Jacobson talking about how we didn't get reparations from the Germans after World War II like they did after World War I. As a matter of fact, we set up the Marshall Plan to make sure that we didn't have a replay of that we didn't exacerbate situations. But what we did get afterwards, both Russia and the U.S., got a payoff in terms of scientists, and they were not too picky about the ethics of these scientists. You know, whether it is Wernher von Braun, who used slave labor at Peenemünde to build the rockets, or whether it was some of these other people who had done experiments that even at the time that Operation Paperclip was going on, one of the things that exposed it was the outrage when one military officer blew the whistle on the fact that they wanted to get a flight surgeon for the German military who had essentially found a way to revive people who had died from hypothermia, from freezing to death. And he did it by human experimentation. He did it by putting people in a vat of ice and freezing them to death and then seeing what it took to revive them. And once that was released, people got a glimpse of it. But the full truth is just now starting to come out, 70 years later. And then there's what happened here in America. You know, as a matter of fact, when I saw that, I thought, you know, I wonder if that was the inspiration for the Captain America plot line, you know, getting frozen to death and being able to revive them later. That was the idea of the Germans. They said, look, we're rescuing these pilots. They make the raids on Britain, and then they fly back over the channel. They get shot down. They parachute out, and a lot of them have frozen to death just before we get to them. So let's see, you know, maybe even after they've been dead for, you know, a half hour or so, maybe we can revive them. And so they just took it to an extreme with the comic books. But that was something that got into the press at the time it was happening. But most of the stuff was kept hidden. We had Fort Detrick in Maryland. We have Plum Island. We have all these different things. And it's still going on. We have the CDC, our biggest pusher of vaccines, of course, right? They are the big retailer of vaccines. They're the driving force behind the mandates behind vaccines, panicking everybody about measles. And yet, what does the CDC do? The CDC has a select agents program that brings in extremely dangerous and extremely contagious diseases and works on making them more lethal and more contagious. It's called their Select Agent Program. So all this stuff is continuing here. It isn't any theory that we have a massive biological weapons program and that it looks at this as completely devoid of any moral or legal calculations, just like the Nazis that were the seminal components of building this system for the Pentagon after World War II. They absolutely do not care about the legality or the morality of this. And so I see this as a very, very positive sign. The person who put this in is a Republican congressman from New Jersey, Chris Smith. He instructed that the House-approved amendment instructs the Defense Department's Inspector General to conduct a review of whether or not the U.S., quote, experimented with ticks and other insects regarding use as a biological weapon between the years of 1950 and 1975. It's just a coincidence, I'm sure, that this happened right in that area, don't you think? I mean, it was only 3, maybe 4 years ago that we had all of these reports about how the CDC and its highest level biosafety labs, and they have 4 different levels of biosafety labs. And they brought in a very rare microbe called Burkholderia pseudomallei. It only existed in 2 very, very remote places on the planet. They brought it to Tulane University, to the primate center there. And of course, it escaped out of their bio level, is either 3 or 4 lab. Somehow, it found its way into 500 acres there with the monkeys that were roaming around wild. They found a contamination there. And this is something that, in its native form, where it is, it's a fatal disease. And so let's bring this in, see if we can make another weapon out of it. If we can intensify it, make it more contagious. And in the process, and their carelessness, as we were seeing all the different reports about how they didn't have functioning air filters in these different biosafety labs, and there are literally hundreds of them that are operating in a neighborhood and a community near you. This is your government. This is what they're allowed to get away with because they keep a lid on it and they keep it secret. And we need to start shining the light on these secret Nazi programs. You want to talk about Nazis everywhere? Trump is not a Nazi. These people are Nazis. It's a Nazi science program. This is what we should be concerned about. Yeah, we can talk about this back and forth and the political jostling and the fact that you got Joe Biden challenging President Trump to push-ups. My goodness, what a bunch of puppets and clowns they are. And it is nothing but theater. At least this particular congressman got to the heart of the issue of what we need to discover, what they're doing to us. And if you think that these biological weapons are dangerous, oh, just wait until you look at what they're doing to control your mind and to control your speech, which is going on right before us right now. We'll talk about that when we come back. Stay with us.
See the old smoke rising round the bend. I reckon that she knows she's gonna meet a friend. Folks around these parts get the time of day. From the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe, here she comes.
The Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe. What 10 railroads tell us about our current internet monopolies? Well, quite a bit, actually, because you know what? Technology changes, but human nature does not change. Politics doesn't change. Nature doesn't change. Greed doesn't change. These people who are greedy going after political power, oh, it can tell us a great deal about what's going on today. Let's go back about 140 years. Let's take a look at the railroad robber barons before we get into these hearings in the Senate yesterday, talking about the current robber barons who have taken over control of the internet. Yeah, it's the way that goods are moved today, especially control of our political speech. And there's an article that was on Zero Hedge from Consortium News, talking written from a guy who actually was a historian who specialized in this particular era of history, the Gilded Age. And, of course, it was very famous. These robber barons were allied with the corrupt Republican Party beginning shortly after the Civil War. The Grant administration is still widely considered to be the most corrupt administration ever. And one of the things that caused it to get corrupt were the people who were establishing these monopolies. Not only the Standard Oil Company, but also the big railroad companies. And as Richard White writes, he said, the 19th century Americans loved railroads. They seemed to eradicate time and space. They could move goods and people more cheaply, more conveniently than ever before. They fell in love with this new technology. But they feared that railroads would make it impossible to do business without using them. Kind of like what we have today, you know, computers. You can't live with them and you can't live without them, right? That has never been more true. Businesses and the Republic itself, writes White, seem to be at the mercy of the monopoly power of railroad corporations. Farmers, businessmen, consumers all wanted to have competition as a way to ensure fairness in a marketplace, a free marketplace, right? But with no real competitors over many of the routes, railroads could charge different rates to different customers. And this power to decide economic winners and losers threatened not only individual businesses, but also the conditions that sustained the Republic. And he gives an example of the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe competing with the Missouri Pacific Railroad. Both of them built parallel tracks going west from Great Bend of the Arkansas River in Kansas to Greeley County on the western border, 200 miles away. So they run 200 miles of track, these two different railroads, and they're only 2 miles apart because each of these railroads were providing their own tracks at the time. After this type of competition between them, what they decided was, well, let's get together and we'll kind of cooperate and we'll set common rates. And we will determine who is going to do business in certain areas, that type of thing. Now, the anti-monopolists, he says, who oppose the railroad's power, argued that monopolies originated not as a result of efficient investment strategies, but rather from special privileges afforded by the government. And this is what I've been arguing about Facebook and Google for quite some time. They were not the only people who entered the market. There are a lot of people who entered the market. All of these different corporations who entered the market, however, got a lot of help. Actually, they depended on help from venture capital firms. And I've pointed out many times how the intelligence community, how DARPA was involved in directly funding this in many cases. The CIA actually came out openly, set up a venture capital firm. But you had DARPA and other people in the intelligence communities that were sitting on the board of directors of these different firms, and they are now. Do you know that Michael Hayden, the former director of the CIA and the NSA, this guy who thinks that President Trump is a Nazi and so forth and hasn't shied away from doing that, he's always been anti-Trump, he's always been anti-freedom, and he is now on the board of directors of, wait for it, NewsGuard, the people that Microsoft has set up to tell you which news sources you can trust. How's that for Operation Paperclip? Oh, okay, that's just a conspiracy theory, right? Uh-huh. Yeah, it's still happening, and it's happening on steroids. It's happening even faster and to a greater degree now that they have, after they funded all these different competitors, all of which, you know, they knew could be reliable partners for them. After that kind of sorted out and you wound up with a monopoly winners like Google and Facebook, now it is really intensifying very quickly. That's why things are changing so quickly. Anyway, he goes on to write, railroads had the ability to condemn land in order to build their routes. See, there's the government assistance there. They got subsidies of land, loans, bonds, other financial aid from federal, state, and local governments. Their political contribution. Oh, by the way, have you noticed how they throw cash at these big corporations to open up a facility there? You know, like Amazon. The bidding wars that we saw for Amazon. Yes, AOC. AOC scotched that for them. Sometimes she stumbles into the right thing for all the wrong reasons. All these different communities across the country throwing billions of dollars at not just Amazon, but at all these companies. And so that was happening with the railroads back in the 18 70s, 1880s. Their political contributions and their favor secured them supporters in the legislature, Congress, and the courts. And this is what we're going to have to look at if we want to understand why nothing is being done to stop the takeover of the internet. It's the money. Follow the money. It is one of the best investments in the world in terms of return on investment. You can pay off a politician, give them tens of thousands of dollars, and you can get billions of dollars in profits. And it's this kind of corruption, along with other things, that really signals the end of the American empire, just like we saw the end of the Roman empire. It's that kind of massive corruption. Anyway, going back to the railroads, stronger railroads bought up weaker companies and divided up markets with remaining competitors. And of course, you see that pattern with Google as well, buying up competitors. I'll give you an example of this in just a moment. Monopoly's great economic and societal danger was its ability to decide who succeeded in business and who failed. For example, in 1883, the Northern Pacific Railroad raised the rates that it charged O.A. Dodge's Idaho Lumber Company. The new rates meant that Dodge was unable to compete with a rival company, Montana Improvement Company, that was owned by the railroad, Northern Pacific. Isn't that convenient? Dodge knew the game was up. All he could do was ask if they wanted to buy his company. I'll give you an example of that with YouTube and Vivo doing exactly the same thing today. But to continue on the points that he was making, anti-monopolists then wanted more government regulation and enforcement. So what did they do at that time? Did they figure out a way to solve this? It's very interesting to see the parallels that were taken in terms of how they tried to get these railroad monopolies under control and what is being suggested in Congress right now to try to get Google and Facebook under control. And of course, it's an uphill battle because these politicians that are supposed to be looking after the American public's interest are being bought off by these big corporations and the think tanks as well. We saw it last week, the White House social media conference. And you got Heritage Foundation, which gets amazing amounts of cash from Google, are there and say, well, look, it's just, we want to have competition. We don't want to have regulation. We want to have a free market. And that's exactly what they said here. You know, you had the consensus was that the railroads need to be regulated by the federal government. Again, they're going across different state lines. They had greater respect for the Constitution at that point in time. In other words, they didn't say that every problem needed to be addressed by the federal government as we do today, but this truly was an interstate issue, and it really did come under the jurisdiction of the federal government. Congress ran into a problem, however. If an even competitive playing field depended on regulation, then the marketplace wasn't going to be open or free. And that's the back and forth that you see now. That's why you've got conservatives and libertarians and some of their think tanks saying, we don't want any regulation of this. And we'll talk about that when we come back. One of the things that took it under was that even at the time of the railroads, the railroad executive said, this is hopelessly corrupt. And you're starting to hear that now coming out of the internet companies as well. Welcome back. We had yet another Senate hearing yesterday where they pulled in people from Google, YouTube, other internet owners coming into the Senate. And they questioned them yet again to try to discover if there's a problem. You have to keep going back and forth, and they keep reading quotes from these people about how they want to censor and control our speech. And yet they just don't seem to be able to come up with any solutions to that. And I think it's interesting for us to go back and take a look at the history of something that was very parallel to this, and that was the robber barons of the 1800s, late 1800s, 1870s, 1880s. What happened with antitrust regulation? As I pointed out in the last segment, you had executives of a particular railroad, the Northern Pacific, owned a lumber company. And they just arbitrarily raised the rates on a competing lumber company to put it out of business because he couldn't afford to get his products to market. Would that sort of thing be happening today? Well, quite frankly, they're saying yes, it is. Part of the hearings that are going on, as Bloomberg reports, One company called AppNexus, founded by Brian O'Kelly in 2007, helped companies to advertise anywhere on the internet. They had software that was able to be integrated into Google, which, of course, even at that time, was the biggest ad seller, and also into YouTube. By 2015, 8 years later, Google halted companies from buying ads on YouTube using external software, which would eventually collapse AppNexus because its clients could no longer advertise on the video platform. And so what Brian O'Kelly said, as he's being interviewed, he said, they crushed our growth. They ruined our product. The marketers couldn't just ignore YouTube because it's pretty much a monopoly in that space. And it's not a supply and demand problem. It's a, you just broke our entire business problem. And Bloomberg points out that advertising and media entrepreneurs, many of them, created multi-billion dollar businesses around YouTube, only to be crushed by YouTube after YouTube changed the rules of engagement, the terms of service. Of course, we hear that all the time. We hear people say, well, you know, they can change the terms. It's their private property, and they can change the terms of service at will, just like the Northern Pacific Railroad did to the competitor, Dodge, put him out of business. They just changed the terms of service. We're going to charge you a higher rate. We're going to tell you that you can no longer be on our platform, even though you dedicated a great deal of time, and in many cases, money. Brian Kilfoge, the triple amputee veteran, who had been encouraged by Facebook to build his platform on Facebook. He spent over $300,000 in ads to build that platform, and then he was just kicked off of it without any explanation because they didn't like his political views. This is the same guy who did the GoFundMe project, We Build the Wall, and they actually got a wall built. They had to do it on private property. Of course, President Trump won't do that because he wants to obey every single federal judge. Let's not ever challenge judicial supremacy. No. We'll instead have a fight with the squad so people don't pay any attention to the chaos and the collapse at the border. We won't pay any attention to the fact that he changed his mind multiple times on the census question. And then after he was thoroughly routed, and he will be routed, make no mistake about it, once he gets all of these numbers compiled by the Commerce Department, it's going to be just count it down. 3, 2, 1, lawsuit. And they're going to say, no, you got to use the census to allocate political power and allocate money, and we're not going to use this other index that you put together with the Commerce Department to do that. He did not win, but he changed. He is winning the public opinion, and he has completely changed what everybody is talking about. We're not paying attention to how soundly President Trump has been defeated at the border by the judiciary. And again, the biggest and most important question is judicial authority. But getting back to this, taking down people like Brian Kilfoge by just changing the terms of engagement. As I said before, if they can rewrite the rules of the economy, they are the rulers. They are the monopolists. And as they point out in the Zero Hedge article, people familiar with this said that YouTube didn't just wipe out the competition right away. Instead, YouTube made decisions to consolidate the video ad buying process with no consideration for its partners and with no regulatory checks. It triggered a tidal wave of failed companies and fewer choices for advertisers, and now YouTube is making about $16 billion a year. And if you use it, you're seeing ads being served all the time, multiple ads being served all the time. Usually there's two ads at the beginning of every video. And as they point out, regulators and politicians have taken notice. Now the Department of Justice is considering an antitrust investigation of Google and YouTube. Don't hold your breath, quite frankly. They can tie this up in the courts indefinitely. They have so much money, so many lawyers. Just take a look at just what happened to Facebook. Yeah, they got a $5 billion fine. $500 billion they have, and they get a $5 billion fine. It's nothing. Take the case of Vivo. Founded in 2008, we just looked at an ad serving company that was founded in 2007. And it's kind of interesting because all these things, you know, took about 5 to 7, 8 years for Google to strangle them. These people come in, they start to establish a business model, and Google strangles them or buys them up. Vivo was founded in 2008. They collected music videos, original programming from creators. They distributed the content across the internet on Facebook, YouTube, and Vivo.com. They wanted to be the MTV of the internet. Vivo music videos are some of the hottest videos on YouTube. Advertisers paid more to advertise on those videos, but YouTube came across a significant problem when Vivo featured a video on its platform. YouTube couldn't advertise because Vivo had exclusive rights. And so Google wanted to find a way to get around this. So they tried to renegotiate with Vivo. Then they just tried to buy it outright. That didn't work. Neither of those things worked. So they came up with a new contract, new terms of service. We write the rules in 2012. And what they did was they crushed Vivo at that point in time. And after Vivo was going out of business, in order to try to scrape together and try to survive, they were brought to their knees by YouTube and sold YouTube a... they had YouTube invest in their company, and they gave them some rights to their ad inventory. Got a minority stake in Vivo. And so that continued for years. Finally, in 2018, they discontinued their effort to compete with YouTube. And then YouTube got everything that they wanted at that point. So, you know, when we look at this, going back into the 1800s, again, same type of thing that we saw there. They would go in and they would set up agreements. They would get monopoly agreements with these people. They would consolidate everything. They would put out people that they couldn't own. They'd put them out of business. And so as people looked at this, they said, all right, we need to regulate this because we want to have a free market. Other people said, but if you regulate it, you won't have a free market. What do we do about this? It's a mutually exclusive problem. And that's what we have today in Congress. That's what they're wrestling with. So some of the people said, well, okay, let's do a little bit of regulation here and let's measure the rates and control the rates that the railroads are doing. And I said, well, okay, that's a very difficult thing to do because their costs include loading and unloading, and that's one of their major costs. So how do we even calculate that? Today, what they're saying is we have to somehow come up with a system where the federal government is going to measure bias. And let me tell you something, measuring bias is going to be a lot more difficult than calculating the cost of transporting physical objects on a railroad car. We're going to talk about what the hearings had to say along this line when we come back. But folks, we are the ones who, more than anybody, have been pushed out of social media, out of YouTube, the largest corporations the world has ever seen, far larger than any of these robber barons. These people who have colluded, who have been assisted by DARPA, the intelligence community, the same people who have been trying for a long time to overthrow the election of President Trump, have come together to push InfoWars off of the internet, to deplatform us, to deperson us, to actually put out a fatwa encouraging people to put out violent threats against us. Folks, if you want to stand for independent free press, help us here at InfoWars. You've been very good about doing that in the past. We still have the sale up from last week's 34-hour special, our 1776 worldwide special at InfoWarsStore.com. We want to make it easier for you to buy the products that we sell that support this operation. We're now, interestingly enough, we've sold out, I think, of the Betsy Ross 1776 shirt. There were four different styles there. They might still have some of those available. But the products are going fast. We have all shirts and hats that are 1776. Many of our vitamins, minerals, and supplements are 1776. BrainForce Plus, Ultra 12, our vitamin B12, Survival Shield, X2 and X3 nascent iodine, Ultimate Bone Broth, Winter Sun Plus, our vitamin D formula. All of these products, at least 10% off, some of them 75% off. InfoWarsStore.com. We really do appreciate your support. You're our only sponsors.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. There are two existential issues right now before us in America. One of them is the collapsed border that is in total disarray. And President Trump has been completely stymied by that, by the judiciary. The other issue is what is happening on the internet. These people have taken over control of the internet, and they're using it to strangle independent free press. They're using it to strangle the public's free speech in the digital public square. And they're using it to get bigger and bigger. Now they are not only not being checked by Congress, that is just dithering, and the president as well, on this White House social media conference that was last week. Total nonsense. Well, do I really need social media? Oh, probably not. I can probably win without it. Well, maybe you can win President Trump, but America loses if we lose our free speech, if we lose access to the public square. America ceases to exist, even though you may get another 4 years in the White House. Good for you. Good for you. Put your interests first. I'm telling you, if you don't get control of the border, which is what you were elected to do, and you're going to have to get control of the judiciary in order to do that. And if you don't, and the Republicans don't stop playing around, playing footsie with these people, I look at this and I got to say, what is the point of all these endless hearings being conducted by these people? Are they just negotiating for some protection money from these corporations? Quite frankly, it's starting to look like that. But let's take a look at some of the things that were said back and forth. We have Ted Cruz. Let's get video clip number four. He's grilling the Google VP on the whole idea of being a good censor. Here's video clip number four.
If Google will answer some straightforward questions that provide the data, that may go a long way either to exonerating Google or to demonstrating there's a real problem. And
I don't even know why we're still doing this, frankly. I mean, it's been demonstrated a long time ago. What's going on?
It's also a metric of how many pro-life ads has Google refused to run. This committee has heard testimony, for example, that the movie Unplanned, the true story about a former employee of Planned Parenthood, Google refused to run their ads. So that's a question I'd like an answer to. How many pro-life ads did Google refuse to run, and how many pro-choice ads did Google refuse to run? Likewise, how many pro-Israel ads has Google refused to run? How many anti-Israel ads? Those data, right now, Google is a black box, and nobody knows. Let me ask another question. What was the average?
No, we know perfectly well, Senator Cruz.
Google charged the Trump campaign, and
maybe he should watch InfoWars.
Ad rates, Senator, are set by auction. So Democrats, Republicans, it's entirely based on when they would want to run.
There is an average ad rate. That is a number. It would be the average of the rate you charged across the board. And I'm going to ask you in writing, what was the average ad rate that the Trump campaign paid and the Clinton campaign paid? And if those two numbers are roughly equal, that will indicate one thing. If those two numbers are wildly different, that may indicate something else. And right now, it is Google that knows that, and as far as I know, nobody else.
You know, Senator Cruz, why don't you just take a look at the numbers from the 2018 election? Take a look at the results that happened once you had independent free press purged out of the internet, out of the social media square. That's the only metric that you need to know. But this is absolute nonsense. I mean, we've had a lot of leaked documents to Google, which is rather to Breitbart on Google, which is some of what he's referencing there. We've had Project Veritas talking to people and having them gaining their confidence and getting them to brag about how they censor people. And, of course, later in that hearing, he talked about how they bragged about being the good censor. And the question is, who is driving that censorship? Oh, we don't want to probe too deeply on that, because then we will find some connections to DARPA, to NATO, and to other organizations who really said this DARPA set up this whole system as a tool of psychological control in the first place. We'll be right back.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. You just heard a sample of the hearing. You had Ted Cruz, one of the more aggressive senators, to grill Google on their censorship. And yet, you could hear they didn't really want to go there. I want to see some details. Can you get some reports from you? Because I'm really not sure. It kind of seems like something's going on here. How many years are we going to talk about this before they even begin to do something? And then once they begin to do something, it's going to be tied up in courts forever. That's why I started out by talking about what happened with the railroads decades ago, and I haven't gotten to the solution yet, what we're talking about here. And it doesn't mean that we have to, we can learn some of the things that did not work with the railroads as well. But when he talks about Google bragging about being the good censor in information that was leaked to Breitbart News, he said tech firms are performing a balancing act between two incompatible positions. And this is exactly true, what he's saying. He says on the one side, they want to create an unmediated market of ideas, as they say, 100% committed to the American tradition that prioritizes free speech for democracy and not for civility, by creating spaces where all values, including civility norms, are always open to debate. So that's one side, according to Google's own internal assessment. On the other side, they want to create well-ordered spaces for safety, 100% commitment to the European tradition, which favors dignity and safety over liberty, civility over freedom. And you do this by censoring. So let's understand that this is an age-old debate. You have always, and this is something that we've been struggling with here in America. We haven't been able to get our heads around, and certainly the conservatives are failing in this. After 9/11, the whole basis of the police state, the surveillance state that has been ushered in after 9/11, has been to trade away our liberty and our freedom for safety and security. And now we're doing that with our speech. Oh, we need safe spaces. That means we got to be civil. Don't offend anybody. Don't do anything that could be moderately offensive. As I was pointing out yesterday, that's gotten to the point where it's completely killed comedy. Not just political speech, but comedy has been killed by this. And now drama. Because you've got all these actors and actresses who are afraid to take roles because it's going to be the end of their career if they play a transgender character and they're not really transgender. Or if they play somebody who is disabled in a wheelchair, and they're not actually disabled in a wheelchair. I mean, it's gotten that extreme. Many of them have kowtowed to it. I told you how Scarlett Johansson did. And then she does this groveling speech, you know, where she says, yeah, they took me out. Well, I'm an actress. I should be able to play anybody, anyone, male or female, animal, vegetable, mineral, whatever. You know, I could play a pet rock or whatever. No, look. She should be able to. I mean, that's always been the goal of actors and actresses, to have a wide range of radically different personas that they do. That's what they do. They are pretenders. And now they're pretending that they don't want to offend anybody. And they're throwing their careers underneath that because it is a mob rule. They will never work in that town again if they offend these political correctness sensibilities. And so she groveled to all that. She called herself privileged. She called herself cisgender. Oh, I know I don't really understand all the problems that everybody has. And please don't take my remarks out of context. That is what this has come to. Because this is what Marxism is always about. It's always about intimidating other people so that you can control them, dominating them. And this whole idea, you know, Ted Cruz is exactly right. You're either going to have liberty or you're going to have security. But let me tell you something. You cannot buy security and safety by throwing away your liberty. You'll never get it. Who are the most secure people in the country? Well, that would be the people behind bars and prisons, because that's to the degree that you give up your liberty, to that degree, you become a prisoner. You become a slave. Yeah, prisoners and slaves, they're very secure. You know, you just don't have any, you don't own anything, including yourself. You hope that the master is going to throw you some crumbs, right? Hope that they're going to push some food through those bars for you. But you don't have any ability to earn it yourself or to make it yourself. To the extent that you give up your liberty, you become a slave to that extent. And you don't deserve freedom, as the founders, as Benjamin Franklin said. You know, those who give up liberty for the promise of security. He said, mentioned promise, because you never get that security. Slaves are never secure, never safe. Neither are prisoners, really, because they can do anything they want to you. And so this is the deal that is being offered everybody. And surprisingly, Google decides that they want to come down on the side of being a censor, being a master, and controlling other people. Of course they want to control other people. They don't want you to be in control. And they have a lot of people in the government who are working to make that happen. That has been the design since a DARPA psychologist, J.C.R. Licklider, proposed the internet back in the 1960s. The design has been to control other people, to control the population, and to be able to monitor whether or not you're buying the lies that they're selling you. Ted Cruz goes on to say, now Google's document lays this out as a balancing act between two incompatible positions. But yet, two places later in the document, on page 67, Google concludes, quote, tech firms have gradually shifted away from unmediated free speech and towards censorship and moderation. Well, who's pushing them to censor? Of course, that would be the government agencies. They're telling them, hey, look at how many times we've seen this. We've seen the European Union saying, if we tell you to take somebody down, you got to do it in a time certain, a very short time. And we're going to tell you, if you don't get them down in that certain amount of time, we're going to fine you as a company. Here in the United States, when they've had these hearings in the past, you had congressmen harangue internet owners and tell them, this InfoWars story was trending. What are you going to do about that? Congressman, can we talk about that in private? I'd rather not talk about that in public. Well, we found out what they did about it. They deplatformed us on social media. That's what they do about it. And that is being pushed by politicians who want that to happen. It's not only politicians, though. I want you to see how this is being pushed by DARPA, by the Pentagon, and so forth. These are the people who want to run our elections, not just our speech, and control what you see and hear and say. They want to control the elections as well. For instance, NewsGuard, right? This is that thing that was created. Microsoft is the lead company on it, but the people who are actually producing NewsGuard is a small subsidiary. Their only investor, their only venture capital firm, is DARPA. And yet NewsGuard is bragging about the fact that they launched in the UK. This is back in April. At the beginning of NewsGuard launching in the UK, and NewsGuard is going to be a site that is going to tell you what's real news and what's fake news. Real news and fake news. That's going to be NewsGuard. Well, when they launched in the UK, they're going to rate whether or not you can trust a particular news source. Overall, not a particular story, but the entire news organization. They bragged about the fact that they had on their advisory board Anders Rasmussen. They described him as a former prime minister of Denmark. However, he did that between 2001 and 2009, but his most recent public office was Secretary General of NATO, 2009 to 2014. And NewsGuard omits that from their PR, their press release, but they put it on their advisory board page. His colleagues on NewsGuard's board, reports RT, include former U.S. Homeland Security Secretary Tom Ridge. Tom Ridge, the guy who was the first Homeland Security Secretary. The guy who last year, as CNBC reported, was telling everybody that biometric tech will restore trust in society. This is Tom Ridge. The guy who, by the way, was governor of Pennsylvania, shut down all the inspections to allow Gosnell to happen and so forth. And so he was picked to run Homeland Security by the Bush administration. He's telling everybody, so that we can have trust in society, we're going to have a biometric database, just like they do in China, to look at everything that you do. And now he is on the board of NewsGuard. Welcome back. Yeah, who is watching the watcher? Who is watching news to make sure that it is truthy enough, that it's trustworthy enough? Who's counting the votes? Well, that would be the big corporations, DARPA, the Pentagon, the intelligence community. As we're talking about this in the last segment, NewsGuard. Who's on the board of directors of NewsGuard? Well, former director of NATO, a NATO director, as well as the former Homeland Security Secretary, the first one, Tom Ridge, who thinks that we have to have biometric tech everywhere, just like in China. so that we can have trust in society. This is the guy who is telling you which news sites you can trust. And he talked about that in March of last year, March of 2018. Then joining Tom Ridge is also CIA and NSA director, formerly Michael Hayden. These are the same people, Michael Hayden and these other people, are the same people who have come up with this Russian conspiracy theories and have been trying to take President Trump down and overthrow our election. They've got a better way to do it coming up. They're going to control our news, and they're going to control the votes because they not only have news guard, but they've got election guard. All of this is a DARPA project, as the internet is a DARPA project. Also on the board, the founder of Wikipedia, Jimmy Wales. What a coincidence that Google is now labeling things, just as they used Wikipedia to label the Republican Party in California just before the primaries a Nazi organization, right? They have a Nazi political philosophy. They did that, and they said, oh, well, it's not. We just use Wikipedia, and somehow Wikipedia got that wrong. And then if you talk about climate change issues, you get the pushback from YouTube, and they will put at the bottom of the video a link to Wikipedia disputing what you just put there. And so it's interesting how you got this echo chamber pushing the establishment, the military-industrial complex, their endless wars, their false flag attacks to start wars, pushing the surveillance state, pushing the Russian conspiracy. It's all these same people. Michael Hayden, NATO, Wikipedia. Here's another one. Richard Sambrook, former director of global news for the BBC. And what they do is they rate these different news organizations like InfoWars or Breitbart or RT. And they have a very interesting pattern, as Breitbart pointed out. You had John Nolte of Breitbart went through and he said, let's look at the sites. They go through and they come up with a trustworthiness score. And then at some point, they just round it off as pass or fail. You get a red check mark or you get a green check mark. And guess who's in the red category? Places like InfoWars and Breitbart and RT. But the people who get a green check mark are the people who keep pushing all of these now debunked stories about Russiagate. Even after we have the Mueller report coming out saying there's no collusion, they're still pushing that conspiracy theory, which, again, originated with the same people who are running NewsGuard. These same people who are on the board of directors of NewsGuard are giving green check marks to anybody that pushes their lies, their false flags, their false narratives. And it's still present there everywhere. So you get an idea where this is coming from. And by the way, before we leave NewsGuard and Election Guard, this AP story that just came out end of last week. New election systems use vulnerable software. Oh, really? Really? I mean, we're going to have an operating system just as Microsoft set up with DOS and with Windows and everything. They became the most prevalent operating system for computers, right? And now they've got an operating system for elections. It's called Election Guard. And as AP is talking about this, they're not actually saying we need to get away from electronic systems that can be hacked and where votes are easily changed and where you can make vote tampering enterprise-wide. I mean, they can do this across all jurisdictions if they've got computers in place, especially if you've got one substrate operating system from Microsoft in place. You can tamper with all the elections everywhere from top to bottom. And across the country, vertical and horizontal, they can affect every single election. And don't think they won't do it. They or somebody else. All these people saying, you know, I think $100,000 in ads from some bot places in Russia, I think that rigged the election. Ignoring everything that Facebook and Google did and so forth. And ignoring the fact that we are turning our election system over to electronic voting machines that are all going to run on the substrate of one operating system, Election Guard, that is put in place by DARPA, funded by DARPA, run by these people like Michael Hayden and others. just absolutely unbelievable. And we still have people like Ted Cruz, the people who are supposed to be on our side to try to get these people tamped down. They're still holding hearings saying, well, you know, I think you're treating these conservatives unfair. You conservatives now, y'all don't forget to vote for me, you hear? I see your problem. I feel your pain, right? Check that R when you go into the voting booth. And I'm sure that Microsoft's going to make sure they count that vote. So AP comes out and they don't say, let's just ditch this whole idea of electronic voting systems. Instead, what they say is that 10,000 election jurisdictions nationwide are using Windows 7 or an older operating system to create ballots, to program voting machines, to tally votes, and to report the counts. You tally the votes so you can interfere with an election if you jump into the point at which they're tallying the votes, or you can rig an election if you jump into the point where they are reporting the votes, right? Multiple points of vulnerability. And they said the problem is, we've got these 10,000 election jurisdictions nationwide using Windows 7. And Windows 7 is reaching the end of its life January the 14th next year. Just in time for the 2020 elections. And this is really bad, they said, because you know Microsoft is not going to provide any more technical support. That means that if they find any vulnerabilities, they're not going to issue any patches to fix that. What are we going to do? This is desperate. We can't get rid of election software. So what will we do? We'll turn to Microsoft to save us because they've got a solution already. Don't worry, they saw this coming, and they've been working with the Pentagon and with DARPA to count our elections with Election Guard, and they're going to have that in place, right? So, we got to, in time for the 2020 election, in order to have security, because Microsoft is not going to support the Windows 7 updates anymore. We need to switch over to Election Guard because then they'll make sure that we're really safe and secure. We buy their new product, make some money for them, give control of this whole system to the Pentagon and to DARPA. You got to ask yourself why, why we would do that. Well, of course, AP has got us covered. They're going to show us how vulnerable we are and how we've got to buy that upgrade from Microsoft to keep our elections safe. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Liberty, it's your move. This is the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. There was something interesting that came out of the back and forth yesterday as Ted Cruz had another gotcha on Google. And again, we can keep having these congressional hearings, these Senate hearings, where they keep showing examples of abuse. But the question becomes, when are the Republicans going to actually do something about this? We all understand it's a problem. It's not a theory anymore. Shadow banning. We have now overt banning. We have deplatforming, depersoning. We have fatwas against individuals like Alex Jones. Facebook saying, we're going to take you down if you do any threats that are going to call for violence or any death threats, unless it's somebody that we don't like, a dangerous person, somebody we've labeled as a dangerous person. Oh, yeah, you can call for death threats against them. These are fatwas. What a surprise that they also defend Islam. But let's talk about Ted Cruz questioning the Google VP that was there, Karen Bhatia, yesterday about the censorship of Prager University and the Ten Commandments being put in restricted mode for talking about the Ten Commandments. Video clip number 6.
Just for the record is that PragerU has produced 325-minute videos and that YouTube has censored 56 of them, so roughly 20%. Among those that are censored include a video on the Ten Commandments. Another one censored includes a video on the history of the nation of Israel. The restrictions are purportedly for blocking things like pornography, but apparently in YouTube's world, talking about the Ten Commandments and the nation of Israel is comparable and should be blocked.
Respectfully, Senator, that's not right.
What I was trying to explain is
all of Mr. Prigg's, the Ten Commandments, all those are available to 98% of YouTube viewers, 98.5, I believe. 1.5% of our viewers have activated, again, this restricted mode, churches, schools, maybe libraries that don't want to have their viewers exposed to more mature content. The video, I believe the Ten Commandments video, for instance, contains references to murder and I believe potentially Nazism or World War II, something along those lines. There are other videos have
Moses
in
was
that
a Nazi.
Category, in the number that you referenced, 56, whatever it is, that may make reference to rape. That's the reason. But they're not censored. They are simply, they're available to everybody who's using normal YouTube. They are not available to the small subset who have chosen to activate restricted mode.
Again, when they have these hearings, why don't you ever ask Alex Jones? We didn't have 20% of our videos restricted. We had 100% of them removed. I never had a strike against any of the content on this show when they took me off August the 6th in the middle of a broadcast that we were streaming there. Had over 60,000 subscribers, by the way, and if you still haven't discovered that we have a YouTube channel, now is the time to go there and subscribe. We have everyday show there, and we also put up videos by subject. Again, you can go to youtube.com/libertarian. Don't forget to subscribe to find out more about that. Hopefully, they will pass that along to you. We can only hope. But don't forget to subscribe to our channel, Libertarian, to get the videos of this show. But when they took us down the first time, we'd never had a strike against us. Not a single strike. And it was taken down without warning, without explanation, without ever any explanation. For the next several months, I kept getting this spam saying, your channel has been taken down because a complaint was received. A complaint was received. They would never respond. Went through official channels. They would never respond as to what that complaint was. A single complaint? According to their rules, it's three strikes and you're out. That didn't apply. That didn't apply. And so after over 8,000 spam emails from YouTube, about every 5 to 10 minutes, they quit sending those. And so anyway, we're back right now. You can find us, Libertarian. But of course, we didn't have 20% of our videos taken down or restricted. We had 100% of them removed without any explanation. But Ted Cruz doesn't notice that. They don't ever talk about that. As a matter of fact, it was less than 2 weeks after they had just deplatformed Alex Jones and InfoWars and Marco Rubio and the other Republican senators August of last year. Here we are a year later, and they're still having hearings. Is there something going on? This seems a little bit fishy. And it is a little bit fishy. You're going to have hearings on internet censorship and bias from these companies. You're not going to have Alex Jones there 2 weeks after he was taken down in a collusion of all of these internet companies all at once within a period of about 10 hours, taking down everything that Alex had on and anybody who was even remotely associated with Alex. Everything taken down. Nothing to see here, says Marco Rubio. I don't even go to your website. I don't know who you are. Later he admitted he was lying. Of course, he knew that Alex had a website. He knew exactly who he was. But these little shills in the Republican Party, these shills from the military-industrial complex, wanting to make you Republican voters think that they really care about your rights in these show trials that they do over and over again, it's absolutely pathetic. But yeah, they have a problem, and they're going to have a problem with Christianity. No doubt about it. What they had a problem with. Oh, yeah, said something about killing, as in thou shalt not kill. Oh, got to take that down. They said something about killing. They'll use any pretense, any excuse to label stuff like that. Here's a good example. You know, Leo Zagami was here the week of the 4th of July. He took a picture of himself with Alex Jones. And, of course, Alex Jones is under a fatwa from Facebook and from Instagram. He put it up on Instagram, another property that's owned by this monopolist, Mark Zuckerberg. And so they put a strike against Leo Zagami. They also have a problem, not just with the Ten Commandments. They got a problem with St. Augustine, reports Leo Zagami. 2 days ago, a pro-life activist in Massachusetts posted that he had a passage that he had quoted from St. Augustine taken down because it violated Facebook's, quote, community standards on hate speech. Now, here's the quote, and see if you see any hate in here. This is the quote that Facebook said is hate speech. Let us never assume that if we live good lives, we will be without sin. Our lives should be praised only when we continue to beg for pardon. But men are hopeless creatures, and the less they concentrate on their own sins, the more interested they become in the sins of others. They seek to criticize, not to correct. Unable to excuse themselves, they are ready to accuse others. Where is the hate in that? Does Zuckerberg hate that? Because he is somebody who concentrates on other people's sins? Is that what Zuckerberg hates about this? Is this like a mirror to him? Because I first looked at this and I thought, well, I wonder if this was taken down because this person was a pro-life activist in Massachusetts. Are they coming after the person or are they coming after the actual content? What's being censored here? Because, you know, Facebook does censor people, not just content. And then Leo points out that Facebook has repeatedly banned this quote from Augustine every time people post it. And so you got to ask yourself, what is this? You know, I understand that they don't like people talking about the fact that God created humans, male and female, because they're trying to push a transgender agenda. I understand they don't like people talking about conventional marriage because they're trying to push homosexual marriage. I understand that they don't like people talking about life issues because they're trying to push abortion and infanticide. But, you know, you look at this quote. And so far, I haven't been able to identify what political agenda this is stepping on because it's not hate speech. It's just speech that Facebook hates. And so that brings us back to where we were with the railroads. They said, we got to come through and we got to somehow measure the rates that these people are doing. But that's a hard thing even to do for the railroads. But now we're going to have the government. Is that how we're going to regulate this? They're going to come in and make sure that there's no political bias. That's the problem I have with Josh Hawley's idea. He's going to make sure that everything is fair. And it's like, I'm sorry. I don't want these people who still, a year after all this stuff has come out, fully out of the closet, are still pretending, is there really any bias? You think that they're going to get that answer? Welcome back. You know, you heard in this Dog and Pony show that Ted Cruz had, he questioned the Google executive about why a Prager University video that was talking about the Ten Commandments, why that was put on restriction. Now, understand, the Google executive says, well, you know, only about 20% of their videos have been put on restriction. And it did mention killing in there somewhere. You know, it's part of the Ten Commandments. It probably also mentioned adultery, stealing, like stealing people's rights and their free speech. You know, our free speech, our human rights, are our property as well. We create governments to protect our rights. And I would say to Ted Cruz and these other Republicans who are playing these games with people, these dog and pony shows here, and to the president and President Trump and his administration, the dog and pony show they had of that social media White House lawn spectacle that they put on. Stop playing around with this. You have a duty to protect our rights. That's why we created governments. That's what the principles this found, country was founded on, the Declaration of Independence. Governments are there to protect our God-given rights. And when you don't do it, we're going to alter or abolish this government. That's our duty to do that. And if you don't protect our borders, you don't protect the borders that are being infringed on when they take away our free speech. Not just our free press. Our independent free press, but your individual free speech to be able to communicate with other people, to share ideas, to comment. You're not allowed to do that. They're going to tell you what's approved and what isn't. These big corporations, DARPA, the Pentagon, Michael Hayden, former NSA, CIA, sitting on the board of these things, along with Wikipedia, NATO, and these other people, they're the ones who are going to tell you what is approved and what isn't, and they're going to count the votes in the next election if we have electronic voting machine. That's not even being talked about by these idiots. They're pretending that that's not an issue. They haven't even given that any lip service. This makes me disgusted. And so, you know, they say, well, these things are put on there to control pornography. Well, you know, take a look at this. How is our government really going to do a good job of vetting that? You know, they say, keep saying, well, you know, we got to stop the terrorists. And so we got to have censorship. And so we're authorizing and demanding that Facebook and Google and others that we've turned over the internet to, we're demanding that they censor these people. And yet they don't censor Antifa. And if you complain and just point out the fact that you've got Twitter people bragging about the fact that they support Antifa and so forth, you point that out and they basically deplatform Joe Biggs for doing that. Absolutely amazing. When you look at the pornography stuff, how about this? Hundreds of Pentagon officials caught running a child porn network, on official Department of Defense computers. But these people can't protect the border. They're not allowed to protect the border. They're too busy with their porn network at the Department of Defense. But of course, the Department of Defense joins with DARPA and with NATO to shut down your free speech because, you know, we got to cut down on the pornography. We've got to cut down on the terrorism, except they don't. What they come after are the Ten Commandments. They come after quotes from Augustine. They come after political news that talks about what they're doing with their false flags to create wars. That's why they come after us. You know, we've had this war on drugs. We've got this situation at the border. Here's another example. This is from Free Thought Project. A serial child molester and an abuser is sentenced to 30 days, but a man who has 22 grams of weed gets 4 years. Now, how much is 22 grams? Well, that's 5/100ths of a pound. It is 3/4 of an ounce. He gets 4 years for 3/4 of an ounce. But in Ohio, a daycare owner convicted of abusing over 2 dozen children, many of them sexually, will only spend 30 days in jail after taking a plea. They found 24 children, reports WBNS, the sheriff's office did. They found 24 children with only one adult, the woman who's running this place, her 71-year-old mother. They say many of the children between the ages of 7 months and 5 years old were strapped into car seats, left unattended in separate rooms. One of the mothers said, one of my girls developed an anxiety-driven hair-pulling habit to the point that she was nearly bald. My heart breaks anytime I think about how my children were left alone, strapped into car seats, crying. During the trial, prosecutors said multiple other children spoke of sexual touching, something called the silly private game, in which kids spun a twister-like clock with pictures of their private parts. And yet, this person gets 30 days in jail. The person who has 3/4 of an ounce of pot goes to jail for 4 years. I have a problem with that. You ought to have a problem with that. You ought to have a problem with the fact that the government gets involved in wars worldwide, nonsense, false flag operations like the Skripal poisoning, and then they use NewsGuard, these same people who pushed this Russiagate conspiracy theory and are still pushing it. And the people who push that narrative, they get the green check mark. If you push back against that narrative, you get the red check mark. It's absolutely amazing. Ed Snowden nailed it. Ed Snowden said, big tech will, quote, indenture entire populations into servitude to corporations and to governments. He said these big corporations like Google or Facebook are more than happy to hand over all this data that they have to governments, making people vulnerable to persecution. And again, Tom Ridge, the guy who is on NewsGuard, board of directors, first Department of Homeland Security secretary, has said, we have to have biometric data on the American people in order to restore trust. Now, when we look at the border situation and the absolute total collapse that has happened there, they now are coming up with a solution. Jared Kushner, President Trump's son-in-law, maybe he got this idea at the Bilderberg conference that they just got back from. But his number one thing to do is to push E-Verify. And I'm absolutely appalled at the slave mentality of conservatives who have become so reactionary to this manufactured crisis, and it is a manufactured crisis. Let me tell you, it's manufactured on the other side. You got people like Soros, NGO organizations that are throwing money at people, giving them cards and so forth, importing people all the way from Africa to rush the border to come into the country. You got the Democrats who want the voters. You've got the Republican big businesses who want the cheap labor, and on and on. It is manufactured on the push side. But, of course, we are giving them access on this side to all the different aspects of the welfare state and to education, and we won't do anything to stop that. So after they create this massive problem, remember a few years ago that we had Kissinger say, at some point, something will happen, and the American people will be begging for the United Nations to send in troops to control it. And now, with this collapse at the border, we are begging for a national identity card. I see conservatives all, every time I criticize E-Verify as a national identity card, and I say, I'm not ever going to ask permission from the federal government as to who I can hire. Never going to do that. You give them complete control over the economy, and you got all these conservatives saying, we got to do that to get control of this out-of-control immigration at the border. They manufacture a crisis. They don't want to let that go to waste. And now you've got Jared Kushner pushing E-Verify along with these same think tanks like the Heritage Foundation. As Breitbart pointed out, just before this fake White House social media summit last week, pointed out the Heritage Foundation gets a massive amount of money from Google. And guess what they said? Even before, they said, well, we don't want any heavy-handed regulation. Heritage Foundation said social media companies are responding to the question of censorship. They're doing their job. They're going to fix all this stuff. They've told us they're going to fix it. They told us that when they handed us the check, says the conservative, the biggest conservative think tank organization, the Heritage Foundation. No wonder people, conservative people, are begging for a national identity card, E-Verify. And, you know, all the medical stuff, that's going to come along with a national medical identification as well. But in case all that fails, they've also got you on biometric information. Tom Ridge and his people are going to profit from that as the government controls and monitors everything that you do. Folks, if you want to push back against this stuff, if you want to understand what is really going on, we're going to give you the straight scoop on this. You may agree with me, you may not disagree with me. I'll tell you why I think this stuff. I've been doing this for the last several years, and we're not going to stop doing this. They're trying to silence us because we're telling you what these people are doing. And if you want to support us here at InfoWars, you are our only sponsor. The products that we sell directly at InfoWarsStore.com. We still have our 1776 specials there, many items, $17.76. 10% off everything, at least in the store, up to 75% off many items store-wide. That includes vitamins, minerals, supplements, even things like toothpaste. Also, all shirts and hats discounted down to $17.76. InfoWarsStore.com. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back as we hear that Revolutionary War music. There's an article of Chris Pratt now being criticized for his t-shirt choice. And he didn't buy the 1776 Betsy Ross t-shirt that we have at InfoWars. No, this is a Don't Tread on Me t-shirt. You know, the Gadsden flag, the yellow flag with the snake on it, Don't Tread on Me. It was from the Revolutionary War. And, of course, everything that is American, everything, is now hateful and racist. And that's what he's being criticized of now throughout the Twitter sphere. Everybody is melting down about this, the fact that he would have a Don't Tread on Me flag. One person says, well, I like him. But all these small things about his politics makes me wonder when he'll say something transphobic. Oh, we're all just waiting to imply that he's going to say something and we can interpret that as being transphobic and that will end his career. Yeah, he says we're wondering when he's going to say something transphobic and that'll tank his career. And he'll do the full heel turn into a Fox commentator. Yeah, that's exactly it. And, of course, as I pointed out yesterday, Scarlett Johansson and other actors and actresses groveling before the LGBT mob. Oh, I don't want to be transphobic. Please, I'm cisgendered. Forgive me. My privilege. I should never have thought that I could star in a perverted Hollywood Gomorrah film about a transgender running a prostitution ring in Pittsburgh in the 1970s. Who wants to see? I mean, this whole society is so disgustingly sick in Hollywood. Absolutely amazing. I see this Don't Tread on Me. I was telling my son, I've been very tempted. They got those white letters that you can glue onto your tires. You know, they get them to say anything. Most people get them to, make it look like a race car or something. And I'm not into that aesthetic, so I'm not going to do that. So don't look around Austin for a car with letters on it that say, don't tread on me. But I thought it'd be kind of funny. And I would be immediately outed as a racist. And of course, I guess I am anyway, right? Because I oppose slavery reparations, but not Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer has now come out with the crazies on the left. He doesn't want to get in the situation Nancy Pelosi, where he's fighting with the squad and the radicals. This whole Democrat Party is in a downward spiral. All they can do is talk about race, and it is a race to the bottom of the polls. And so now he's talking about slavery reparations. Well, guess what, Chuck? Maybe you haven't noticed, but all the people who owned slaves have been dead 100 years. And all the people who were slaves have been dead 100 years as well. This is all a part of doing the group versus group power ploy that has always been a part of the Democrat Party. What he had to say was, I've always believed that racism is the poison of America. No, it's the poison of the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party has always used racism in one form or the other, one group. It used to be white people. Now they're anti-white people. They used to be racist pro-whites. And I mean, that wasn't that long ago that you had people like Robert Byrd, former head of the Ku Klux Klan, party leader for life in the Democrat Party. It's, you know, it almost makes you feel sorry for Joe Biden because he doesn't realize just how quickly the ground has, you know, the script has flipped underneath his feet. I mean, they were all about white supremacy. And now they're all about taking out white people, you know, because of demographic shift. And he just is too slow to react. Again, you know, he thinks that he wants to challenge President Trump to do push-ups on stage. He says, if he makes fun of my age or my mental state. Yeah, nobody would ever make fun of your mental state when you do that type of thing, Joe Biden. You know, he just had a nonprofit that had to suspend operations because it was literally nonprofit. I mean, literally nonprofit. Nobody was giving any money to it. He just doesn't know how to do the Washington game even. I mean, he can't get things going like the Clinton Foundation. I guess, you know, Jeffrey Epstein's not around anymore to seed it with money. We'll be right back.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. As I said, Chuck Schumer is now coming on the side of reparations. He says, racism is the poison of America. No, racism is what keeps the Democrat Party going, and it is what is funding the revolution. Going back to Bill Ayers. You know, his communist comrades realized they weren't getting anywhere by separating the country into economic classes. That worked in Europe. It worked for Karl Marx and his followers and Lenin and others. But here in the United States, people didn't buy that. But they found something that they could use. They started selling white skin privilege. And then Bill Ayers stopped bombing buildings and decided that he would bomb our educational establishments, poison the minds of our children, and heighten racism. And that's what they've been doing. That's been their ploy. We can get a class struggle. It won't be economic classes. It'll be racial classes. That's always the tool to power. Kamala Harris also jumping into this, saying that writing a check is not going to be enough. Well, Kamala Harris, your father, said that proud of the fact that his ancestors owned a plantation there in Jamaica. Are you going to be writing a check, Kamala? How about Obama? You know, Obama's family, I think the white side of his family, you know, we're supposed to pretend that he's black, but he's just as white as he is black. And on the white side, I believe they own slaves. I don't know. They're not really kind of straightforward. Kamala and Obama are not real straightforward about all that slavery thing, you know. They'll use it, but they won't necessarily pony up and admit to it. Beto will, on the other hand. Now, Beto is groveling about his white privilege, and he wants everybody to see him beating himself on the back over slavery. And so he is fessed up to that. So I'm waiting to see who of these Democrats are going to be writing the check. But she says it's not enough to write a check. You're going to have to vote Democrat as well, right? Put her in office. Meanwhile, we have a war between two of these News Guard verified as truthy and trustworthy news sources, you know, the New York Times versus the Washington Post. And the Washington Post is telling us that the New York Times lied to us in terms of calling President Trump and his administration racist over the $20 Harriet Tubman bill, right? They were going to put out a new currency and change, get rid of Andrew Jackson. And again, it's interesting. I always think about it. Every time I see Andrew Jackson on the $20 bill, I'm reminded of the fact that he pushed against a central bank and he killed the central bank as part of his presidency. Andrew Jackson took on an arrogant judicial tyranny coming from the Supreme Court. He took that on and said, I'm not going to listen to you. He took on the central bank, equivalent to the Federal Reserve. Except at that time, I don't even know if the central bank, at that point in time, I don't think it was a private organization like the Federal Reserve is. But nevertheless, it had the same function. But he basically killed the central bank as well. But they got their revenge, I guess. I guess they put him on the bill just as a kind of a little victory dance to say, yeah, you shut us down 100 years ago, but now we're back. 1913, we came back, and look, we're printing the money now. And so we're kind of putting your face on the bill, doing a happy dance on it that we eventually won. But Obama-era officials confirmed that the New York Times hit piece, reports Breitbart, that claimed that the Trump administration was deliberately delayed the Harriet Tubman $20 bill for nefarious reasons is indeed fake news. And it's being called fake news by the Washington Post. Now I have a dilemma. I don't know who to believe. I mean, the Pentagon and the DARPA and the CIA officials who are running NewsGuard are telling me that both of these news organizations are always trustworthy and tell the truth all the time. So when the New York Times tells me one thing and the Washington Post tells me another thing, tells me that's not true, I don't know who to believe. How can that be? We got two organizations that are totally trustworthy. Everything that they say is true, right? They don't do the evaluation article by article because we've got a lot of articles that have been exposed as false by the Washington Post. A lot of articles that have been exposed as false by the New York Times. But they, as an organization, always tell the truth, we're told, by NewsGuard, by the Pentagon, by the intelligence communities. And so I don't really know what to say. Three officials who served in the Obama administration confirmed the Washington Post that the Trump administration did not delay the release of the Tubman 20, despite the drama-infested saga perpetuated by the New York Times last month. According to the report on the Washington Post, I said in 2016, this is the New York Times, Obama's Treasury Secretary, Jack Lew, said a final concept design, the Tubman 20, would be released in 2020. He asked the government to accelerate the process of the redesign, saying the new look would be released by 2020, the 100th anniversary of women winning the right to vote. But inside the agency, some government officials doubted the deadline could be met. A confidential 2013 report by the Advanced Counterfeit Deterrence Committee, an interagency group that oversees redesign of U.S. currency, said the $20 bill would not enter circulation until 2030, similar to the timeline announced by the Trump administration. But of course, you know, the New York Times said, oh, this is just racism. It's not the bureaucracy trying to make sure it's not going to be counterfeited. No, it's simply the racist Trump administration trying to push this back. And, of course, that is what they keep telling everybody about these Marxists. You know, keep hearing all the narrative about how, look, you told these people to go back to these places. And I read you the actual quote, what President Trump tweeted out. Got a lot of people saying, you know, he really needs to pull that back. You know, he what he said was just too rough on these women of color. And yet what he said was, you know, they want socialism. They don't like our government. They like their government. They like their place. Look at how their society has turned out. So maybe they should go back there and fix it if they know how to fix our country. But they ran to this country and so forth. And he was targeting mainly Ilhan Omar. And we got some interesting quotes. I got actually the video clip that began all of this. And I'm going to play it for you in the next segment. But the big pushback that everybody's coming, they said, like, he doesn't even know what he's talking about. Only one of them wasn't born here. And now you've got a news organization, I think it was Huffington Post, comes out and says, well, Ilhan Omar has been an American citizen longer than Melania Trump has been. And I would say she's still not an American citizen. I don't care about the paperwork. She hates America. It's obvious. She hates America. And it's obvious that Rashida Tlaib, who was born here, hates America. How many times do we see a terrorist attack that takes place in Europe? And they say, well, it was a French citizen. It was an English citizen who did this and so forth. And then if you look a little bit deeper, you find out this is a second generation person. You know, their parents came here legally or illegally or as refugees or whatever. Because they're Muslims, they typically separate from society. They ghettoize themselves. They don't want to mix with other people because we're dirty, filthy Christians. And so they stay in this little ghetto, and then their kids grow up, and they get angry. They get really angry. You know, the parents might have realized, hey, this is a lot better than where we came from. I like even New York better than Somalia. And I guess maybe even I would. I try to avoid New York, but I've got to admit that New York is a little bit better than Somalia, but the Democrats are working on that. But, you know, they look at this and say, well, this is better than where we came from. But the kids grow up, and the kids are very angry about that. The kids don't know how bad it was where they came from. And all they see is a society that they really don't feel a part of. They get very angry about that, and many times they become terrorists. But everybody will point out, well, this is a French citizen that did this. And again, you go back to Rashida Tlaib, April this year. She said, you know, myself, Ilhan, all of us, we watch the people that are policing what we say. People are literally policing. What do you mean by that, Rashida? Well, you know, this is what she meant by it. She says, I'm more Palestinian in the halls of Congress than I am anywhere in the country, in the world. She sees herself as a Palestinian. Has always said, she wrapped herself in the Palestinian flag. Oh, I just told my family all back in Palestine. I just won. I'm in Congress. She's in the hall. She's a Palestinian in Congress. Welcome back. As I pointed out yesterday, if you look at President Trump's quote that got everything started, he was really talking about political systems and nations and countries and so forth. But because it was the squad, he was immediately charged with racism. They haven't really thrown in sexism that much. I mean, they threw that charge at Nancy Pelosi, and they're coming back at her as well. They served her a little bit of a side notice here that even though she's kowtowing to them at this point, as they were having a fight with her all last week, she's now kowtowed to them again, and they kind of served her notice that she's not off a double secret probation just yet. Because AOC said, look, she's targeting women of color. Oh, sexist and racist. But then they all turned their ire against President Trump when he came after them for criticizing America. But I just want to remind you of the quote that started all this. I'm going to play this for you from Ilhan Omar. She's doing a lot of, going back to March, a lot of reports about all the different fundraisers that she was doing with Islamic groups groups like CARE, groups like Islamic Relief, that has a has ties to active terrorist organizations. She's doing these and kind of doing them on the side, and I don't really want anybody to know what she's saying behind closed doors as she's raising money with all these different Islamic groups. But one of these interviews was televised, and this is the interview that started it all. And I want to play for you what she had to say about Al-Qaeda. You know, this is where everybody picked this up and said, well, you know, some people did some things. So I want you to hear for yourself whether she really thinks that that was much of an issue or not. You know, Al-Qaeda, yeah, they're just they're kind of like the U.S. Army, really. Here's Ilhan Omar on Public Access TV up there in Minnesota, where the massive Somali community is. Let's play that. This is
interesting
Minnesota,
in the class,
by the way.
Was every time the professor said Al-Qaeda, he sort of, like, his shoulders went up and, you know.
Yeah, he's in command here.
Like, Al-Qaeda, you know, Hezbollah.
He's an expert.
Why should we be afraid of that?
Oh, and it was, you know, as
if... What about his name on the area?
Where does he live? We are not saying his name.
Yeah.
You probably get to see him on CNN.
Yeah, of course. I love those guys.
But, you know, but it is that you don't say America with an intensity. You don't say England with an intensity. You know, you don't say the army with an intensity.
Qaeda.
But you say these names because you want that word to carry weight. You want it to leave something with
it has a cultural meaning, not just
exactly. So it's said with a deeper voice. With so
why would anybody
a lot of it?
Let's leave it at that point. Why would anybody, try to stress Al Qaeda? They're just another organization. Like she said, you know, it's like the army. Why would he change his voice when he said Al Qaeda? Nothing to see here. Move along. Al Qaeda is not dangerous at all. Are you Islamic phobic? When you're talking about Al Qaeda, you change your voice? Seriously? I'll just remind you that McMaster, when they engineered the removal of General Flynn, McMaster came in and said, "We will not have anybody talking about Islamic terrorists. That's just off." So I don't know. I mean, you know, McMaster is H.R. McMaster. Kind of sounded like Ilhan Omar. And that's not to let her off the hook. That's to put the hook in McMaster. That kind of attitude permeates Washington, and it permeates both of these political parties. I want to play for you the ad that the RNC has put out. And they did quite a good job of distilling what these women have been pushing for the last several days. You know, it's like these concentration camps at the border and Trump is a Nazi and all this other kind of stuff. This is what preceded President Trump coming back and saying, you know how to run the country. Why don't you go back and fix the places that you came from? Here's the RNC ad, video clip number 3.
The United States is running concentration camps on our southern border. Never again means something.
If this organization is as fascist as you have called it,
and you have said it's fascist,
then why don't you adopt the stance to eliminate it?
Your colleague who was at the border with you compared the facilities to a concentration camp. Do you agree with that comparison?
Absolutely.
You will see the light, and if you don't, we will bring the fire.
A car in the parking lot was torched, and investigators say the suspect threw flares at a propane tank trying to make it explode.
They took down an American flag and a Colorado state flag, and instead, as you see in some of this video, they raised a Mexican flag.
We are learning new details about the man who threw explosive devices at an immigration detention center in Tacoma, Washington.
Will you condemn Antifa for attacking an ICE facility? Will you condemn the Antifa attack in Washington over the weekend? Will you condemn Antifa for the attack in Washington?
So you heard him asking that same question to Presley, to AOC, and to Ilhan Omar, and none of them would say anything. They will not condemn the guy who tried to firebomb a car outside a ICE facility, was killed in the process. They have absolutely no problem with that. None whatsoever. And that was on their way into a press conference where they were going to call President Trump a racist. And then last night we had the raucous situation on the House floor where they voted to condemn President Trump. They cannot condemn the Antifa terrorist who said, "I am Antifa." A guy who, by the way, was an immigrant himself from, I think, Denmark, I think is where this guy came from. But he had been hailed as a hero, by CNN and by the Democrats. And they cannot bring themselves to condemn him for an act of violence, but they condemned President Trump. And in the process, Nancy Pelosi, in trying to kowtow to the squad, as she called them before, goes over the top and had to be called down by the House parliamentarian. House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer announced the decision from the House parliamentarian. He said the words used by the gentlewoman from California, and by the way, he's meaning Nancy Pelosi. I know you don't understand. You don't see her as a gentlewoman. But Nancy Pelosi from California contained an accusation of racist behavior on the part of the president. The words should not be used in this debate. And one Democrat in Congress told Fox News, we're not going to defend our speaker. They want Pelosi's words stricken from the record. And so this began as she read prepared remarks to condemn President Trump personally. And a Georgia Republican, Doug Collins, rose to challenge her and to demand that her words be taken down. It was an extraordinary rebuke to the Speaker of the House. That's the first time that that has happened in decades. It goes back to 1984, the last time you had something like that happen. And as I said, this just illustrates that we are at the level that we were right before the Civil War, where you had a Democrat, Preston Brooks, cane a Republican over the issue of slavery. The Democrat, of course, being on the side of slavery. But that is the kind of raucous hatred that the House has descended into. And it wasn't enough, because the squad came back at Nancy Pelosi. Be aware when you single us out that we are women of color. So you just watch out, Nancy. You're served notice. We'll be right back.
Keep on lying. Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. As we move forward to 2020, we got the debates coming up in a couple of weeks. We have the Democrats basically mired in the past. Yeah, I think that's going to be the theme for the election. 2020 is hindsight. Let me give you an example of this. You can't make this up. Biden, if you like your private health insurance, you can keep your private health insurance. Where have I heard this before? Is this hindsight? Is this a recycled rhetoric? Does Biden have anybody writing speeches for him other than the people left over from the Obama White House? Remember that lie we were told by Obama? If you like your private insurance, you can keep your private insurance. We'll just raise the rates by over 100%. Yeah, okay. He is still recycling that. And as I said before, you know, I kind of feel sorry for Biden. He is so old. He's still thinking, you know, he's still got his mind in the Obama administration, and he's still thinking of the Democrat Party as being the party of Robert Byrd and the Ku Klux Klan. He just doesn't understand. They flipped the script. It's a different group now that he's got to pander to. Another race that he's got to be racist for, and a different race that he's got to be racist against. He just doesn't get it, just like the insurance stuff. And then he comes out and he says, no president has ever been as openly racist and as divisive as Trump. And I would just remind him of what happened to race relations under Barack Obama. Everybody reported the fact that race relations had taken a nosedive under Barack Obama. And the reason for all this is the way that the Democrats are using this as a tool of political conquest, the white skin privilege tactic of the Marxists, led by these people who were consultants and mentors to Barack Obama, people like Bill Ayers and the Weather Underground. That is what they see as their path to power, to create a race war. And they're still at it, and they're making things far worse as they go along. Biden was also confronted by protesters demanding that he apologize for Obama-era deportations. They started screaming at him, in New Hampshire this weekend and saying that at his event, demanding that he, quote, apologize for the 3 million immigrants that were deported and separated from their families under the Obama era. And one protester asking, he said, I want to know if you will commit to stopping all deportations, all detentions, if you are elected president. He said, no, not all deportations and detentions. They said, will you apologize for the three million that were deported under the Obama administration? He said, no. And they started chanting, 3 million deportations under the Obama administration. Apologize now. Apologize now. And so, you know, it's not working out too well for him. You know, he can't get away from the past. He keeps recycling it, and it is still staring him in the face. And I would say that's also true for his arch nemesis now, Kamala Harris. She is going back to the past. You know, hindsight is 2020, and that is the theme of the Democrats. We're going to look backwards. And she used busing in the 1960s to hammer Biden in that first debate that they had. And now she is recycling the Russian bot conspiracy theory. She says all of this Kaepernick anthem kneeling controversy was the work of Russian bots. See, it wasn't people that were angry at what we saw on television when Kaepernick started the kneeling stuff, right? It wasn't us. It was Russian bots who were making us angry. It wasn't what we saw Kaepernick doing. It wasn't what we see Nike doing, shutting down the Betsy Ross flight. You know, we've nearly sold out. I think we have sold out of some of those. I don't know if all of them had four different styles of Betsy Ross T-shirts. We had about 4,000 of them printed. I don't know if they sold out of one style or all of them. But, I mean, people are angry about what Nike did. It's not Russians telling us to get angry about that. It's not Russians telling us, you know, they're trying to erase your culture, your constitution, your borders, everything about your country. No, we see that's happening. But Kamala Harris is still going back to this Russian bot thing. It's Russian bots that created this Kaepernick controversy. No, it's Kaepernick and the Marxists who are here trying to erase our culture and our society. And Washington Post is coming out against Elizabeth Warren, and other people are pointing out her past. Her past in terms of helping Dow Chemical fight people who are trying to get compensation for problems that they had with breast implants. As Washington Post points out, when Dow Corning faced thousands of lawsuits in the 1990s from women saying that they had become sick from the company's silicone gel breast implants that had leaked, Dow Chemical, the parent company, turned to one of the country's leading experts in corporate bankruptcies, Elizabeth Warren. And people who are talking about that said she was on the wrong side of the table, said a woman who co-founded a support group for women who had problems with breast implants and had to battle them for years. She said that Elizabeth Warren and the group that she was with used, quote, every trick in the book to limit the size of payouts to women. You know, those mamas with babies that she likes to talk about all the time. The company, she added, were not easy to deal with at all. And yet, how does Elizabeth Warren portray this on her website? Her campaign puts down on her, they don't talk about it in detail, but they put down on her website that she was, quote, a consultant to ensure adequate compensation for women who claimed injury from the implants and set up a $2.3 billion fund for the women. Thanks in part to Elizabeth's efforts. So, you know, that's the way she spends it. You know, she made sure that they got adequate compensation. Now, they may have had to fight for years, but they got adequate compensation. They may have felt like they needed a lot more in terms of compensation because there's a lot of people. This is a $2.3 billion fund, but there were a lot of people who were injured by that. So they may have felt that they needed more compensation, but Elizabeth Warren thought it was adequate after fighting them for years. And again, you know, Beto O'Rourke is another one of these guys wanting to go back to the past, another one of the Democrats. He wants you to know that he owned slaves, his ancestors owned slaves. So therefore, you know, he's bowing and scraping. That makes him, I guess, a slave owner as well. And as I've said many times, as I tweeted out, if you want to follow me on Twitter, Libertarian, I tweeted out and said, come on, we talk about all this reparations when Schumer came out with the reparations. I said, they talk about this because they don't want you to see yourself as a slave. I said, you know, when I think of slave reparations, I think of a tax cut or a tax refund. I think of that as slave reparations because I understand that slavery exists today. It's called the IRS. They are the overseers on the plantation, the Democrat plantation. And you have to understand that they don't want you to see the various forms of slavery, whether it's income tax or these other forms of control that they exercise over the U.S. population. They don't want you to see any of that. They want you focused on something that happened 200 years ago, and they want you angry at somebody else on the other side because of the color of their skin. And all the while, they call everybody else racist. But then let's take a look at the ultimate 2020 hindsight. You know, we had a major blackout in New York City again on the anniversary of the 1977 blackout. So 42 years later, it all happened again. You've got Governor Cuomo saying that Bill de Blasio ought to be thrown out after this major blackout in New York City. And, you know, it's kind of coming true. He's he's down to 0% in the polls, I think. I don't know he's going to be thrown out of the debates, but again, this is a guy who everybody in New York are laughing at him. People on the left are laughing at him. Why is this guy running? And still, Con Ed is still warning New Yorkers that there may be more sewage outages. Look, here's the political connection to all this stuff. When you start going full on the Green New Deal and you start shutting down cheap, effective, and clean energy just because it's derived from fossil fuels, and you go on this ideological purge of anything that has to do with fossil fuels, you're going to have rolling outages. And it is the fault of the politicians there because they're trying to micromanage the energy distribution. We'll be right back. Stay with us. You may. Well, I don't know if I'm crazy or if our border policies are crazy, but of course, this story that came out in the last 24 hours in L.A. about MS-13, wielding machetes and baseball bats, they carried out medieval killings, say the federal government. One individual was taken out into a remote area of the Los Angeles National Forest and had his heart cut out by six MS-13 soldiers there, a rival gang member, dismembered. Why? Because he had defaced the gang's graffiti. So they take him out, they dismember him, they cut his heart out, and throw it into the woods there. Of course, L.A. is where MS-13 began back in the 1980s because they gave these people sanctuary. You know, we don't want to bully these people. As Nancy Pelosi said, hey, it's just one big community. We just happen to have a border running through it, and we can't do anything about this. We see this over and over again. You know, whether it's Virginia or whether it's Long Island or whether it's California, these poor MS-13 people. Remember, after President Trump got elected, you had California officials there that said, we've got to get these gang records and destroy them because the Trump administration is going to go down this list and deport these people. And they started doing that. It was absolutely amazing. At that time, they thought, just like we did when we elected President Trump, that he's actually going to do something about this crap. And he isn't. Shame on him for doing this. Yeah, he's got this whole thing going with Nancy Pelosi. And it's a, you know, it's back and forth theater happening in Washington, D.C. The show that they put on yesterday, censoring President Trump and President Trump tweeting back and forth. Pay no attention to the collapsed border. Pay no attention to the violence being conducted by MS-13. As we've been told over and over again, they can't do anything to these gangs that have completely taken over where my wife was born and raised in Long Island. Can't do anything about that. That's now been completely taken over by these people. And one father who came from El Salvador himself, and he was crying because his child had been killed by these MS-13 gang members because of a romantic rivalry. I mean, it didn't have anything to do with defacing their graffiti anywhere. No, it's just a boyfriend-girlfriend type of thing. And they grabbed his child and murdered the child. And he said, I came to America to try to escape these people. And, of course, you know, they followed him in because we don't have any control over the border. You're not allowed to distinguish between the good guys and the bad guys. So MS-13 is going to come across as easily as somebody else. As a matter of fact, they come across even more easily because, you know, they control the border. We don't control the border. We're not allowed to control the border. We had a federal judge somewhere one day tell President Trump, you don't have any authority to control the border. President Trump says, okay, I won't do anything about that. I've got to obey everything that every federal judge, any federal judge out of the 3,500 federal judges, any federal judge says, you can't control the border. Okay, well, I can't do that. Well, let me get rid of this Obama executive order where his Department of Homeland Secretary said we're not going to force the law. They called it DACA, deferred action. Oh, no, you can't do that. You can't get rid of a former president's executive order, says a judge. So President Trump says, oh, okay, well, I guess I can't do that. Maybe I can tweet about it. I can tweet about how horrible and crazy this all is. But as president, I don't know what I can do about it. MS-13, of course, was nurtured and created, really, by this whole sanctuary city attitude, this look the other way attitude in Los Angeles, where this all happened. You've got 22 people now have been indicted. 16 of them, I believe, are 18 had been apprehended over the last year on a range of federal and state charges. And now they got 22 of them there. 16 of them, I think, are affiliated with the killings. But as I said in New York, look, we got MS-13 here. And yeah, they came at the foreign citizens from El Salvador, criminally trespassing the United States. We can't do anything about that. They're MS-13 gang members, we know, because the tattoos all over their face. But we can't do anything about that. We got to wait till they commit a crime. You know, like beating people to death, cutting them to pieces with machetes or cutting their hearts out, something like that. You know, then at that point, if we can find them at that point, we'll do something about it. And a lot of this deferred action for childhood arrivals, a lot of these people who are coming across, the MS-13 is deliberately sending over not their best people, but their youngest people because they know they're going to get a pass because of an Obama-era executive order that a judge somewhere told this president, President Trump, that he can't do anything about it. And he's not going to do anything about it. Not going to do anything about it. As I point out, MS-13 originated in the 1980s as a street gang in Los Angeles. It didn't even originate in El Salvador. It was illegals from El Salvador that created a street gang in L.A. in the 1980s. Now it's become a multinational crime cartel. And these charges that they're coming after these people, they've been indicted on racketeering charges that include nearly 200 criminal acts. So this is how this whole situation has metastasized. But, of course, the squad doesn't want anything done. The problem is we haven't been doing anything for a long time about any of that. As Stuart Rhodes was saying yesterday, you know, just go back and take a look at what America once upon a time, when we valued our country, when we thought that we had things like borders, and when we didn't like people coming across from Mexico and attacking Americans. You know, Pancho Villa did that. Woodrow Wilson put together a military expedition and went down to the border and went across the border after this guy. And they were going to go to war with Mexico. Eventually, the Mexicans kind of pulled it back. Probably they were the ones who arranged for the hit on Pancho Villa to take him out, Bonnie and Clyde style. but, you know, that ended one way or the other. Pancho Villa was nothing compared to any of these gangs, like Stuart Rhodes was saying yesterday. And I advise you to take a look at the video that we post up about that. Well, we cut that segment out, one of the many segments we cut out of yesterday's show. Stuart Rhodes talking about the Zetas and how they control the northern part of Mexico. We have a drug cartel, an international criminal organization of terrorists. There's more violence, more people killed in Mexico than in Afghanistan or in Iraq or anywhere else right now. The only place where they had more people being killed, and that's no longer the case, was in Syria, where they were dropping bombs from planes. This is retail. This isn't wholesale slaughter. This is retail. Mano a mano. Machetes, gunfire, cutting people's heads off, hanging their bodies from bridges, and it's coming into the United States, into L.A., where this stuff has been nurtured. You know, policies of the Democrats in L.A. were essentially the incubator for MS-13. And now you've got even more gang members being arrested at the border yet again. You know, we had the report just 2 days ago about the guy that was running human trafficking. They actually arrested him. They charged him with a misdemeanor, and they let him go. They let him go. And so the guy running the child trafficking stuff. And here we have three people arrested, members of violent gangs, one of them a convicted child sex offender in Texas. He had been sentenced to 3 years in prison. But, of course, you know, he's out there and doing it again. And we can't do anything about that because, you know, if you try to police the border, if you try to even try to help the kids that are there by making sure that the people that have them there are not human traffickers taking them into prostitution, oh, you are separating families. And now the families are suing the U.S. government, demanding $3 million each. And I have to say to people, how many times are we going to see them care more about the welfare benefits of foreign citizens? How many times are we going to see them care about people being separated at the border who have already recklessly endangered their children if they are, in fact, their parents? But we want to make sure that kids are not being taken into prostitution. Now they're going to sue for $3 million. They don't even do anything. Don't ever do anything. Never even talk about what is happening to Americans having their families torn apart by CPS. All right, we're nearly out of time here, and I just, in the remaining time we've got here, just want to encourage you to take a look at the products that we put on special at InfoWarsStore.com. We have continued our 34-hour special from last week, the sales that accompanied that, the 1776 Worldwide Special. We've got a lot of products that have been marked down to $17.76. That is at least 10% off of everything in the store. Some of the items are 75% off. You are our only sponsors. We depend on your sponsorship, and you've been great about doing that over the years, and we try to make it as much of a win-win process as we can with different sales. And right now we have things like Brain Force Plus, my favorite nutraceutical. That is now $17.76. Ultra 12, our intensified B12 formula, methylcobalamin. You can get the same thing with a no injection. You can just take that sublingually. And we also have Survival Shield X2 and X3 Nascent Iodine, Ultimate Bone Broth, Super Silver Wound Dressing Gel with Nano Silver, many things. $17.76 at InfoWarsStore.com.